Well, Poe made it in there finally. Last week I was going to use him, didn't use him, but from dream to reality, right? How many ever, when you hear from God, you have this dream, you have this understanding, you have this idea, and your dream in your mind is more of a nightmare? You know, people all the time, how's it going? I'm living the dream. Well, is it a nightmare today? That's Poe. You know, God has spoken to him, if you will. God has given him a dream that you are the dragon warrior. You are the chosen one. You are the one that's going to bring peace to the valley. And he has this dream, and he wakes up, and he refuses to accept the reality of his dream. It's more of a nightmare, right? Like everybody his whole life has told him, you can't do this. This is not you. This is you're a failure. A panda can never be a ninja. You. Isn't that us so many times? We just live in this idea that the world has shaped us, our parents have shaped us, our culture has shaped us, our school has shaped us, everything has shaped us, and it's nothing that God created us to be. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, is this idea that there's more in you, there's more that God has designed you for, and the only way to understand that is to stop living in the lies, which we talked about last week. We have to acknowledge the lies that we believe, that we believe they're true. We believe, like I believed for 35 years, that I was a failure. I was very successful. Everybody would look at me and look at my career in the military and go, you've done well, but not in me. Nothing in me said I'd done well. Absolutely nothing. Because I had believed the lies that was told to me over and over and over and over and over. By the time I was 5, I didn't want to be here. And I believed that. That was my reality. That was my true. But it wasn't until I began to stop and ask God, which is what I challenged you last week, God, this is what I believe about myself. What do you believe about me? And when I challenged you to do that last week, this is what I got from everybody in the room. Not going to do that. Because we're scared. We're scared that what we believe about ourselves, God actually believes about us, but that's not true. God didn't create no junk. And he created every person in this room. And when we ask God what he thinks about us being a husband, being a father, being a mother, being a wife, being a sister, being a brother, being a child, what does God do you think about me? Here's what God's going to say, something along these lines. I love you. You're my created being. You are my child. You're my beloved. You're exactly who I created you to be. You just don't know it yet. These are the things that God's going to say, and we struggle with that. I've actually had the opportunity this week to talk to several people and share with them and take them down. And the response in every single case was the same way when I asked them, what do you think God thinks about you? And I don't know if the response was, I'm not asking them, or the response was, I don't believe them. Do you think it really matters? It's the same response. You see, what God says about you is what is true. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Because when you realize what God says is the truth about you, all the lies, all the fears, all the mess of this world will drop away from you. Now I wish I could tell you this morning that it's going to happen instantly. I've been at it for 20 years. It don't happen instantly. But I also realize in this life, nothing is instant that's worth having, right? There's no get rich quick scheme. There's nothing like that in this world. And so we have to go through a process. We have to go through a transformation. We have to go through something that says, get rid of all these lies, get rid of all these fears, and begin to live and walk in the truth of who God created you to be, who God says you are. And so we're going to look at one person this morning. We've looked at several throughout the last week, but we're going to look at one person this morning, Peter, which I think is a perfect example. There's plenty more, but Peter is one of my favorite ones in the New Testament because Peter puts his foot in his mouth all the time. You with me? How many can relate? Open mouth, insert foot. Say something stupid. Do something stupid. We used to have a foot award at the command that I work at, and when somebody would say something stupid in front of the two-star, they would get the foot. And just remind me of Peter all the time because Peter was this way. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. But we see from the very beginning, Peter's life reveal that identity in Christ isn't about perfectionism. Peter's not perfect, and neither are you, and neither am I. What it's about is about direction. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Are you going the way that Jesus wants you to go? Jesus didn't name Peter the rock because he was already strong, but because he would make him strong. Jesus or Peter's life shows us the identity in Christ isn't about being flawless, it's about being formed. It's about a process. It's about something that we have to go through if we're really going to be who God created us to be. Jesus didn't call Peter the rock because he was already unshakable, but because he would make him that way one day. Now, when I say the rock, how many of you picture Dwayne Johnson? Stop it. That's not what Peter looked like. Sorry, that's just how my mind works. That's not in my notes, but that's pretty funny. Jesus sees more in us than we see in ourselves. He sees who he created us to be. Poe had a dream that he was the ninja warrior. But as soon as he woke up, he lied because he couldn't accept the truth. The lies that we have believed, the lies that we live in are so comfortable, we refuse to acknowledge the truth when we hear it so many times. And Peter's no different. The first time that Jesus meets Peter, Jesus is walking along the seashore. This is a very early in his ministry, the first year, probably one of the first few days. He's walking along the seashore. You got Simon, Andrew, his brother. You got James and John. They're fishermen. He walks along and he looks up and he goes, hey, fellas, why don't you guys come follow me? Why don't you guys just come hang out with me? Why don't you guys that, you know, the world is cast you away. You guys are worthless fishermen. You're just smelly. You're stinky. You're necessary to provide food, but outside of that, that's all it is. In fact, you guys are terrible at it, and we'll see that throughout the day, that you guys don't even know how to fish, but you guys come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, which is the first time Simon hears who he really is. I'm not a fisherman, but I'm going to catch people for Jesus. That's his identity. That's who he is. And it says, we want to read this, we go, oh, wow, he did this immediately. Because it says in Matthew chapter 14, at the very end of it, in verse 20, it says, and at once they left their nets and followed Jesus. Last week, it was all about who told you that. This week, it's all about that I told you that. Jesus looked at him and said, you'll fish for men. That's what I told you. And they left their nets and immediately followed Jesus, and everything was hunky-dory, right? It all worked out, except for the fact that that's not how life works and that's not how the story goes. You see, so many times we want to read the scriptures and say, Peter was transformed at that very instant and he never went back on his word. Well, you never read the word of God then, because Peter's known for sticking his foot in his mouth. Jesus, from the very beginning, begins to rename and refocus Simon to his true identity. And our tendency as humans is to go back to our comfort zone, isn't it? Poe woke up from the dream, immediately went back to being a failure. I dreamt about noodles. Who dreams about noodles? Really? Unless you're hungry. Go to bed hungry, you dream about food. Outside of that, I don't know. But our tendency is just to go back to our comfort zone, the lies we believe instead of the truth Jesus speaks. How many people do you know that they go through something and God gives them a wake-up call, and they're fine for a while, they do the right thing for a while, and then once all of that wears off, they go back to doing what they've always done because it's what they only know. And we're all guilty of it. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm guilty of it. In fact, in 2014, I had started a church in 2004, gone for 10 years, and shut the church down in 2014. And people ask me all the time, did God tell you to shut the church down? Nope, but you can't pay the bills. You shut the doors. It's just reality. And so for me, I was still in my failure mode. Wasn't as bad, but, well, this just failed. I was a failure at this. It's okay. So I told God, I can't use the language I use with God in here because you all fire me. But I told God, I need a break. I'm leaving this. I'm going to go back to do what I'm comfortable doing, and that's construction. You know why I like construction? Because at the end of the day, I know what I did. I built a shed. I built a deck. I built something. You know what? At the end of the day, with you people, you think I'm joking. I spent my entire day working with people, and at the end of the day, I go, what was that for? You with me? I mean, we're human. We do that. You're no different than me. So in 2014, I just told God, I'm done. I need a break. I still love you. I still believe in you, and I still know you're on your throne, but I'm done with you. Later on that year, I'm sitting at a stoplight going to a construction job, working for myself because I don't work well for others. I don't work well for myself, but I'm sitting at a stoplight, and God speaks to me, and this voice says, you've had a long enough break. Now, I can't use my language that I use with God, but I said, nope, I don't want to hear from you. And God said, told you had a long enough break. I said, okay, here's how this is going to go, God. I'm not looking anywhere. I'm not putting a resume out. I'm not opening a book. I'm not opening a phone. I'm not doing nothing. You tell me that I've had a long enough break, then you have to make this clear. The next day, a jerk called me. His name's Steve. And here I am. But we all do that. We all have a tendency to go back to our comfort zone. And just because they dropped their nets and followed Jesus doesn't mean it all went great from there. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we see the next time that Jesus comes along. Guess where they're at? They're fishing. Jesus comes walking along the shore. He's got a bunch of people he's trying to teach, and they don't have places like this. They don't have microphones. They don't have speakers. So Jesus needs a way to speak to a big crowd of people. So he looks at Simon. He looks at Andrew, his brother, says, hey, I'm going to borrow your boat. You guys get in it with me, and we're going to go out there. They've been fishing all night. They're tired. They're like, whatever. All right, Jesus, get in the boat. We'll push it out. So he pushes it out off the shore, and he begins to speak to the people. Jesus gets done speaking, and we don't know how long Jesus speaks. I don't think he spoke for hours and hours and hours. I think Jesus was pretty sensible about this, and he spoke to the people, and he was done. He was like, all right, you guys get out of here, because I don't know what you're doing. But anyway, get out of here. And he looks at Simon, and he says, hey, Simon, push out into the deep water. Let's go fishing. Simon looks at Jesus and said, I've been fishing all night long. Didn't caught a thing. And I'm thinking, Jesus, like, yeah, because I told you you're not a fisherman. But let's go do this. Well, Jesus, you're a teacher. You don't know anything about fishing. Okay, you think that. Let's go out and go fishing. All right, Jesus, you want to go fishing? I'm going to go out and throw the nets, and I'm going to prove you wrong. I know what I'm doing out here. Jesus is like, okay. Goes out, throws the net overboard, completely fills the net. You know what Peter does? First, he hollers for the other boat. Hey, we're going to drown if you guys don't come help us. And second, he looks at Jesus and falls at his feet and begins to worship. And the very first thing he says is, I'm a sinful man. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to go home and read that. And I want you to identify the sin that's pointed out by God in Peter's life. I'm going to give you a little clue. There's no sin presented. There's nothing there. So why would Peter, Simon at the time, fall at the feet of Jesus and cry, I'm a sinful man? Because he's not doing what God told him he was supposed to do. He's not living in his identity. You want to go fishing? Go fishing. You ain't going to catch anything. You go back to that. You be comfortable out there. Go out there and waste all your time. You just go back to that. How many of us are willing to do that? It's our comfort zone. We'll go do that. But nothing good comes out of that time. Nothing good comes out of that process. Nothing good comes out of there. And Jesus comes back along and goes, all right, you ready to listen to me now? Are you ready to listen to me now? And so, here in this is where we see discipleship, and I struggle with that term because of the way I was taught, right? Just discipleship, and maybe you were taught this. Discipleship happens in a classroom. It's where and don't get me wrong, I love the Word of God. I love what it says. I love how we can learn about God. I love how we can learn the things of God. I learn how He teaches us stuff. In fact, we're using His Word today, so don't get me wrong. But discipleship doesn't have to happen in a classroom if it ever happens in a classroom. Here's the way that we've been taught discipleship happens. We go in and we open up the Word of God and we pick out a book of the Bible or we pick out a topic of the Bible and we begin to study and dissect and do all this stuff to this thing. And we gain a lot of knowledge. We gain a lot of understanding. And then we go out and live in the world and we come back next week and we engage in discipleship again. And I just don't find that in Scripture. I don't find that process in Scripture. And so here's the way I want to define discipleship as what I see in Scripture. It's a process of learning who God is, who God created you to be, and what God created you to do, all because of a loving relationship we can enjoy today, tomorrow, for all eternity. And so what happens is Jesus brings them in and says, hey, come hang out with me. Come just be a part of my life. Just come walk around with me, and I'm going to teach you some things, and then I'm going to send you out. And you're going to be tested on what I've been teaching you, which Pastor Steve told me I got to quit saying because, you know, I don't know why. But isn't that how it works? God teaches you, God tests you, God brings back and evaluates you, right? That's discipleship. I'm going to teach you something, I'm going to test you on it, and I'm going to tweak things, and I'm going to send you back out, bring you back in, send you back out, and bring you back in, and send you back out, and bring you back in. That's discipleship. Not sit in a classroom and get a bunch of knowledge that becomes worthless in our life. I don't know. But that's what we see in Peter's life, is this process of discipleship. So the next time that we see Peter, we realize that doubts will arise, but our faith is greater than any fear. As Jesus does this, as he sends us out and brings us back, and sends us out and brings us back, our faith is increased. We understand that this is actually who God created me to be. That over there is just a bunch of lies, and I don't need to keep going back to that. This is who God created me to be. And so we see this in Peter's life in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through, or chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. Jesus had been out teaching that the day before this event, and it had been bunch of people around him. And like I said, you know, just being honest, at the end of the day, as a preacher, as somebody that helps people, is a counselor, and maybe you got one of those jobs, at the end of the day, it's a struggle to figure out what you did. Anybody ever people out? You know, just like, go away. Yeah, Jesus gives us this example, just so you know. Jesus has been teaching all day long. Jesus is tired. He's like, go away. Sends the groups of people away, just get out. And so I'm sure the disciples are thinking, well, we'll hang with you. No, you too, because I'm tired of you too. Get in the boat and go on the other side. I'll meet you over there tomorrow. And so they get in the boat. Now, it's funny, every time they get in a boat, something happens. They don't catch any fish, storms arise, and so this is no different. They get in a boat, they start going to the other side, storms arise, they're fearful. They can't figure things out. Just things aren't going right. And you know, sometime 2-3 o'clock in the morning, they look up and they haven't gone anywhere really. They just off the shore, but they can't do anything. Can't go forward. Can't go backwards. They just can't do anything. And all of a sudden, they look up and here's this ghostly figure coming to them. Fight or flight. Well, you can't run. It's water, and you can't row because you've been rowing all night long and can't go nowhere. So I guess we're going to sit here and figure out what this is. So there's at least 12 of them in the boat. Peter looks up and goes, hey, I think that looks like Jesus. You ever think about that statement? I mean, just think about that. We're in the middle of the water. We're in the middle of the sea. And that looks like Jesus. Is fear taking over? Peter looks at Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, is that you? Yeah, that's me. That's pretty interesting. We could spend all day right there. Yeah, that's me. Then if that's you, if that's really you, give me a sign. Let me walk out there to you. Okay, come on. Let me ask you what did Jesus say to Peter? Come. Come on. Come on. That's what Peter said, or what Jesus said. That's what he told you. Get out of the boat. Come to me. Steps out of the boat. I can walk on water. He starts heading to Jesus. What happens? Fear sets in. Starts looking at the storm, starts looking at the wind, starts looking at all the circumstances around him, starts to sink, starts to go under. Jesus reaches down. He just looks, hey, who told you to fear? What did I tell you? What did I tell you? I told you to come to me. Why are you going to let all the fears? And he says this, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What did I tell you? I told you you're not a fisherman. I told you you're going to fish for men. You asked me to come out to me. I told you to come. Why you doubt? Why you got this fear? Why you letting the world drown out what I've said to you? I mean, maybe we ought to ask ourselves that from time to time. Why is the world able to drown out what God has already told us? Why you keep going back to your former days? Why you keep going back to what was comfortable? You ever realize that the comfortable of our former days wasn't so comfortable in reality? I'm not picking on anybody, but it's a good analogy. Why does an abused person go back to their abuser? Because they believe that's what they deserve. That's their comfort zone. I'm here to tell you that's not how God created you. And that's not where God wants you. Stop going back to what's comfortable and start staying where God has you. Sometimes what we are taught is not right. You with me? And I'm not talking about out in the world. I'm talking about inside the church. Here's a couple examples. There's a couple ladies on the front row for wearing skirts or dresses because that's what you should wear. All you sinners in shorts and in pants, why are you even here? Anybody with me? Anybody taught that? Any men in here with long hair? Shame on you. What's up with that beard? Well, that's not godly, right? And these are easy ones, but think about the more difficult ones. Who you worship with on Sunday should depict who you hang with on Monday. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't chew, and you can't hang with those who do. Who told you that? But we have all these biases, and it was no different for Peter. He has these biases, and he had this teaching of who the Messiah would be. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 28, Jesus is going to go through this conversation with the disciples. He's going to say, hey, who do the people say I am? And they're going to give him some answers. And he says, okay, so who do you say I am? Now watch what happens. This is where Peter gets his new name. He gets changed from Simon. And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, blessed are you, Simon, for only my Father could have told you that. Only my Father would reveal to you who I am. And only my Father is going to reveal to you who you are. The world can't do that. And he looks at him and he says, Simon, you've been called Simon, just the one who hears, way too long, because you're listening to the wrong things. But your true name is Peter, Rock. You won't get that yet, but I'm telling you that in the last days, they're going to look at you as the solid foundation of Christianity because you are the rock. He doesn't get it, but he had to walk away from his bias of who he was. Not long after that, Jesus began, after telling him your new name, Jesus begins to speak about the fact that he has to go and die and give his life, and as the Messiah, he has to be sacrificed, and it's totally contrary to what Peter was taught. And so it's interesting in verse 22 and 23, Peter, the student, takes the master aside. Oh, I need to tell you something, Jesus. I need to have a conversation with you, Jesus. You ever think that that's not going to go too well? Like when you tell Jesus what he needs to understand, you need to tell God why he's wrong. You need to tell Holy Spirit, stop talking to me because you don't know what you're talking about. But we do that, right? We do all those things, and we don't even think about it. And he takes Jesus aside, which is crazy. And he says, Jesus, this could never be, Lord. Never, Lord. At what point, if you're going to call Jesus your Lord, do you get to say no? You don't. And so those two words should never come out of your mouth when you're looking at Jesus or looking at the Holy Spirit and they've told you to do something. You should never say no. Now, you can. And this is what Jesus says to Simon. I'm going to use that name. He looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. And I've heard message after message after message after message after message after message is that Jesus was calling Simon Satan, and that's just not the case. Who was controlling Simon at that point? The lies and the fears. And where do the lies and the fears originate? Satan. And so like Jesus was in the wilderness when he was tempted, he looks at Simon and says, listen, you're not doing what I told you. You're listening to the deceiver. So the deceiver, Satan, shut up. Get out of here. I want to talk to Simon, and you're not welcome here. Get behind me. I don't care what you say, Satan. You're not going to defeat me. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You just care about these people, Satan. And you don't really care about them. I do. I love them. So shut up and get out of here. And then sometimes our arrogance is going to get the best of us. Matthew chapter 26, 31 through 56. Not long after that, this is during the 3 years that Jesus is on the earth, and this is the last part of the 3 years, the last night that he's with the disciples before he's crucified. He has a conversation, and he comes across and he tells Peter that, or Peter takes a bold stand and says, I will die with you. I will die with you. Jesus says, yeah, you will, but not tonight. You're going to die, but not tonight. In fact, tonight, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you're going to tell people you don't know who I am. And it's interesting, the groups of three in this conversation from that point forward. He takes Peter, James, and John, I believe it is, and they go off. They all go to the Mount of Olives, and then he takes these three on further. And he looks at them and says, hey, look, I need to go pray because tonight's a difficult night. Can you guys just pray with me? Can you just pray with me? Yeah, we'll pray with you. Remember, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to die with you. I'm going to die with you. I'm not going to deny you. Jesus goes off to pray. He comes back, and what are they doing? Already denying him. Jesus wakes him up. Hey, this is a difficult night. Just pray. Just be with me. Jesus goes off, and they abandon him again. Can't stay awake. Jesus comes back a third time, finds him asleep, and like, people. Just people. I'm going to go pray again. I'm not even going to wake him up. Prays again. He comes back after the third time. He wakes him up because the guards are coming to get him. He says, hey, the time is at hand. Peter, I'm going to die with you. He pulls out a sword to protect Jesus, and he tries to slice the head, but takes an ear. If you think Peter was trying to take an ear, I'm not sure what kind of soldier you would be. He's trying to slice this guy's head open, and he missed. Now watch what Jesus says at the end of that. Jesus looks at Peter and says, put away your sword. This is not why I came. Your understanding of the Messiah is wrong. I am not here to lead a rebellion. I could say the word right now, then more than 12 legions of angels would come to my rescue. And at that point, the disciples left. Completely abandoned Jesus. Later on that night, Peter literally denies Jesus three times. And at the third time, the rooster crows. Peter is filled with guilt and shame. And I want you to understand, the guilt and shame is not from God. The guilt and shame is a result of a broken relationship. That's how we think. If I break a relationship, if you do something against your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, if you do something against them, you immediately feel shame. You immediately feel guilt. But that's not from God. That is from the broken relationship. Satan will use that guilt and shame against you to tell you, see, you shouldn't be here in the first place. You shouldn't even be a part of this. You're worthless. There's nothing you can do that. And God's going, no, that's not how it works. I love you. I love you. Jesus crucified. John chapter 21. Jesus rose again, but the disciples haven't met him yet. But where do you think you find Peter and the boys? Fishing boat. Been out all night. What'd they catch? Not a freaking thing. You know why? Because they suck at fishing. You know why they suck at fishing? Because God didn't call them to be fishermen. Jesus comes walking up on the seashore. He looks out over there and says, hey, you guys catch anything? Hey, throw that net on the other side of the boat. You're a fisherman. You should know where the fish are. This joker on the shore, what's he know? What do? Throw the net on the other side. What happens? Miracle. When that happens, the moment that happens, Peter looks up. He knows it's Jesus. You got to understand, he's filled with shame of a broken relationship. He's filled with grief. He's filled with the fact that he denied his Messiah. He jumps out of that boat and beats feet on top of the water to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and goes, you think this relationship's broken? Let me ask you some questions, Peter. Let me ask you some questions. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Sure, Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Are you sure, Peter? Yeah, Jesus, I love you. You see, the relationship was never broke. What he was trying to do is tell him, I told you to follow me. Embrace who I've called you to be. Stop going backwards. Stop going back to what you think is comfortable. I didn't create you to be a fisherman. I created you to be a fisher of men, and that hasn't changed on anything that you've done and never will. So let me ask you a question. What's God told you? What is God telling you? And how are you responding to his voice? I get it. We go back to our comfort zones. But at some point, we got to stop going back and embrace who God called us to be, knowing that there is something greater that he sees in us than we even see in ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And God, thank you for your patience, that you just kept coming back to us over and over and over and saying, look, that's not what I told you. This is what I told you. Let's try this again. Go back out. Come back. All right, better. Go back out. Come back. All right, better. All right, now, remember what I told you. That's who you are. Thank you for that, Jesus. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.